From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, in which Hank talked with philosopher of biology and intelligent design theorist Paul Nelson. Let's join Hank and Dr. Nelson in their conversation.
Darwin's view is every living thing on this planet traces its ultimate ancestry back to what's called the last universal common ancestor. So in a sense, this is your ultimate grandparent. It's often called Darwin's tree of life pattern. What's happened in the last 10 to 15 years is a growing number of evolutionary biologists have said, this tree of life picture just isn't true. They're not theists, they're not intelligent design advocates, they're not creationists. From the standpoint of evolutionary theory, they say this geometry that Darwin gave us does not adequately represent the history of life on this planet. And what's happening right now in 2018 is the tree of life is coming apart from its base upwards. The branches are breaking. And there's a whole range of evidence that no one expected having to do with DNA diversity that has been dumped in our laps by DNA sequencing technology that are causing the tree of life to come apart. So one of the research projects I'm involved in with a scientist from the University of Missouri and people internationally is to look at this fracturing as it's happening in real time. And Hank, I have to tell you, I think that biology right now is in a golden age because we have so much evidence that no one expected that is way out ahead of theory, so that evolutionary biologists now are scrambling to catch up to it. And previous certainties, things that I learned as an undergraduate, 1980 to 1984, and then as a graduate student, 1985 to 1997, those previous certainties are now being thrown into the air. So it's a wonderful time in biology. A lot of things that people thought were dead certain are now up for grabs.
You ever see a time in our lifetime that the edifice of evolution will be ready for a final fall?
Well, here's what I have seen. 2 years ago, almost exactly, a group of us went to London for a three-day conference organized by the Royal Society on the topic of how to fix evolutionary theory. And the reason the three-day conference was convened is a growing number of evolutionary biologists were saying the theory that we've been teaching our students, the theory that is in our textbooks, is simply not adequate to the task. So the first morning, Monday morning, the first presentation in the conference was given by a biologist named Gerd Müller from Vienna, very senior evolutionary biologist from the University of Vienna. And he opened his talk with a series of bullet points. He said, we have failed to explain the following. And these points that he made were not little peripheral kind of mopping up things that every theory has, where you've got some little puzzle, you have to sort it out, but basically you've got the main evidence right. The points that he raised were things like, why do the major animal body plans appear more or less in a geological instant in the Cambrian explosion? Where do new structures come from? These were central questions thought to have been solved by Darwin. And Gerd Müller was saying, we haven't solved the main problems. What we've solved are the little peripheral things that are interesting but not really relevant. So, you know, there are 250 people in this lecture hall in central London, and those of us from the intelligent design community are kind of glancing over at each other like, is he really saying what I think he's saying? And by the way, if people want to hear Müller's talk, you can go, if you go to the Royal Society and put in his name and extended synthesis, that was the part of the title of the conference, you will be able to listen to the MP3 file of the whole presentation. You can hear him say this, just for those of you who like to pursue things right down to the nitty-gritty. So, sorry, I'm going on too long. I guess what I'm saying is things are in a tremendous ferment right now within evolutionary theory. And part of me is thrilled by that, but another part of me, informed by Scripture, recognizes that human beings have dark hearts, right? And I'm not sure that even if current evolutionary theory tumbled completely, that we might not end up with something worse. So that's the theological realism part of me saying, you know, be cheerful, be optimistic, be happy, but recognize that that you can go from bad to worse.
Well, this is something you said earlier on, though, Paul. I mean, you were talking about the fact that as Christians, we don't have to run around frantically grabbing people by lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? What we need to do is be informed, always ready to give an answer, and God will give us the opportunity. So we prepare ourselves and recognize that we ought not to take on ourselves a burden that is not ours.
That's right.
The burden that we have is to be equipped. The Holy Spirit is the person that changes the heart.
Amen. And that when I go into a lecture hall, I have a group of people who pray for me, and I tell them, I send them my schedule, and I say, pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit, because nothing that I can do in myself will make the least bit of difference if the Holy Spirit's not there. And ultimately, I think these questions of origin have a spiritual dimension that vastly outweighs the evidential and the logical. I mean, yes, evidence matters. Yes, logic matters. Yes, good arguments matter. But the question of who am I? Why am I here? Is there a purpose for my existence? Those are ultimately spiritual questions, and there's a spiritual battle that we're in. Sometimes when I get discouraged, I remind myself of, was it Elijah or Elisha? I can never remember. He's complaining to God. You know the story, right? He's saying, they've killed your prophets. I alone am left. He's moping in a cave. And God says to him, in effect, don't worry. I've got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And God reminds him, I'm in control, right? You may be discouraged right now. I'm in control. I have my children. I have my remnant. And you talked about not taking on a burden that you don't need to. It's so important, I think, for Christians to remember the Holy Spirit is running the show here. We are his servants. We are his instruments. But he has got things well in hand. And then I feel like I can wake up in the morning and be cheerful about the work I have to do because the Holy Spirit is in control.
Well, it was Elijah, and by the way, try to be a smart aleck here. He was under a broom tree. But anyway.
Oh, you are a smart aleck, Bible answer man.
You know, the call of the cosmos, we've been talking about that, and I wrote about that this is a film by which only those deafened by the relentless drumbeat of philosophical naturalism could fail to heed the call, and that this stunning production is guaranteed to awaken and arouse anyone who has ears to hear. But now I'm going to test your memory for good here, because there are a whole plethora of films that you were involved in, so many. You know, I can't sometimes remember a list of my own books, but so think back to some of these films, and as I talk about this, I want everybody to recognize that these films are available for your support of the ministry. You can check them out on the web at equip.org. This is the same place where you can listen to the archive podcast that I've done, and I've done probably, I don't know, close to 70 now. I lost track. But again, you can check them out on the web at equip.org. One of them, Unlocking the Mystery of Life. Remember that one?
Yes, that I think.
And it has a sequel, by the way.
Yes, called Origin, if I remember correctly. It deals with the origin of life. And the original, which you just mentioned, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, has been translated into many different languages, been translated into Mandarin, and now goes out more or less on a daily basis into mainland China. Tells in a really nice way the story of the discovery of the molecular structure of DNA and how the information carried by that molecule isn't present in the chemistry. In fact, you don't want it to be in the chemistry, because if every time you had an A, adenine, in the nucleotide sequence, that you had to have a T next to it, you wouldn't be able to put in any information. It would be an absolutely repetitive pattern. So the information that gives us a protein sequence exploits the chemistry. It uses the chemistry, but the information actually is imposed on the chemistry. And that story and the challenge of telling how cells came to be, how DNA came to be, bottom up from physics and chemistry alone, is laid out in that film in a way that's very compelling. So I've been lecturing in Europe, Eastern Europe, and had people come up to me and say, I first was exposed to this idea of intelligent design by that film. So that's the first one that I worked on with Illustra. But then over, that was, I think, almost 20 years ago now, the series that have followed have dealt with things like butterfly metamorphosis or marine animals. What does it take to make a whale?
We'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with philosopher Paul Nelson in just a few moments. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, is a film that you can watch again and again, using it as a tool to touch the lives of others in a truly transformational way. Whether it be for a believer or skeptic, it's hard to imagine a more meaningful gift as we head into the Christmas season. To receive a copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
You have to see it to believe it. The breathtaking new film, The Call of the Cosmos, takes you to the edge of the observable universe. Watching the universe unfold before your eyes will evoke a sense of wonder and leave you convinced that a creator is responsible for the exquisite fine-tuning of the cosmos. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a designer. If you're already a believer, watching this film will affirm your faith in the Alpha and Omega, while also offering an overwhelming evangelistic opportunity to convince the skeptic in your life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Today is Giving Tuesday, and for many of us, it's an opportunity to be a blessing to organizations making a real difference in our world. For followers of Jesus Christ, it's also an opportunity to equip fellow believers around the globe to fight the good fight by partnering with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute. Your gift today can help to bring you the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Hank Unplugged podcast you rely on through radio, the internet, and social media. To stand with Hank and CRI, go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI to make your special gift of support today. Thank you for your commitment to sharing life and truth with as many people as possible. Let's rejoin Hank and Dr. Nelson in their conversation.
The series that have followed have dealt with things like butterfly metamorphosis or marine animals. What does it take to make a whale? How do salmon use very, very subtle cues, basically smelling the water, so that they can get back from their time in the ocean to the stream that they came out of, let's say along the Washington State coast, and right back to the very pool upstream where they were spawned originally. I mean, that's GPS of an amazing sort. So what Elestra does is they focus their camera lens on different aspects of God's creation. Most recently in this new film, The Call of the Cosmos, on astronomy, but they've looked at cell biology, they've looked at the fossil record, the Cambrian explosion, a whole range of different topics, all with the theme of, is there a signal in nature pointing to design? And I tell you what, I've learned a tremendous amount working on these films. So butterflies, for instance, when I started helping with the research for that film, I thought butterflies were cute, right? Nice to put on a greeting card, and they fly by on a summer morning. They're beautiful. I had no idea how amazing butterflies are. I learned that working for 18 months on that movie. So I've told Ladd Allen many times, one of the richest and most satisfying parts of my professional life is being involved in the movies that they make.
Yeah, and I would echo the same thing with respect to metamorphosis. In fact, I've used that as an illustration many times with respect to our own resurrection, because what's so incredible about metamorphosis is here you have a caterpillar, it's sort of moving along a twig, has a particular kind of a digestive system, then it sows the seeds of its own demise, it builds a chrysalis, and its constituent parts devolve into this mysterious molecular mixture out of which comes a butterfly. And the butterfly is completely different. I mean, it's the same physically, but different organizationally. It has a proboscis with which to indulge in the nectar of life, and it has wings, and it has eyes that have a field of vision and color acuity that exceed our own. So, yeah, it's absolutely right what you say. When you actually think of metamorphosis, you think, oh, you know, I've heard of that. But when you see this film, you are entranced.
It is. That revelation, if you will, of saying, you think you understand, but you know, metamorphosis, let us show you some of the details. And it's as you zoom in, God made a world that gets more interesting the closer you look. And when we were in production, we met a scientist in Ohio who actually had put a monarch chrysalis in an MR unit and visualized what was happening within the chrysalis, the magical stage that you just described of the caterpillar dissolving away and the adult flying insect emerging. And I too think that there is a spiritual parallel there, where in effect God is saying to us as observers, you want to understand what your resurrection is going to be like? You too will die. In a sense, the caterpillar is dying, even though it's really alive the whole time, right? It's continuing to respire and so forth. But what will emerge on the other side of your death, you, my human creature, will be something you can't even imagine now, right? Your resurrection is going to be so glorious. There's really no comparison between a caterpillar and in terms of the sheer beauty and magnificence, and then the butterfly that emerges. It's interesting that in some world religions, including Christianity, the butterfly is taken as a symbol of eternal life and resurrection, is actually in the vestments that a priest might wear. They've got little brighter butterflies present there. So people with an eye towards the spiritual significance of what this might indicate have taken on that symbol and used it, I think, appropriately.
The genius of Illustra. I mean, you mentioned the unlocking the mysteries of life and the sequel to that, and how the camera takes you inside the cell, and you think, how could that be interesting, until you see the film, and you go, oh my goodness, this is blowing my mind.
Well, imagine the fun that I've had working on these, where I see, you know, when we made the butterfly film, we went to a couple of facilities in Florida, one at the University of Florida and another, it's called Butterfly World. And we walked into this big enclosure they have, just enormous space where all kinds of different species are flying around. And as I entered the enclosure, a butterfly flew up to me that, and this is no exaggeration, had a wingspan of about 9 inches. Enormous, colorful butterfly. It's called an Australian birdwing, female. And it flew right up in my face, flapped its wings, and it was like someone had blown air into my face. This thing was just huge. So I've had the pleasure of working on these films and being right up close with the what they're filming in Southern California, going out on a big catamaran to look at dolphins and whales. And the dolphins are riding the pressure bow, the wave produced by the catamaran, right out front. And I can look down and see their blowhole opening and closing, which is voluntary. If you had to think about every time you breathed, right, you'd go crazy. I've got to breathe again, got to breathe again. When a dolphin comes to the surface, that muscle that closes the blowhole and opens it is under their voluntary control. So they come to the surface, voluntarily open that breathe, expel all the CO2 out of their lungs, take in oxygen, and the amazing thing is they don't drown when they're sleeping. They've got a special behavioral circuit that allows them to sleep and still breathe. I'm telling you, Hank, God did everything he could to take our breath away.
Yeah, and so you have this notion that unguided, purposeless processes can transform, let's say, the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, or as you describe, the dolphin, and that in a mere matter of a few million years. That takes a tremendous amount of faith. And I think what these films do is they upset your paradigm such that you can think outside your paradigm. You're not like the fish in the water that doesn't know about the water.
That's right. They bump you out of your rut. And one of the great, I guess you could call it a tragedy of intellectual life, is that human beings can fall into ruts, just the way a wagon wheel gets stuck in the rut of an old dirt road, right? And you never get out of that rut. And you process information, you take in information the same way, fall in the same rut. And what the film helps the listener or the viewer do is to see the world through a different lens. It's a mixed metaphor. I apologize for that, but it bumps you out of your rut.
You are good at mixed metaphors. You're just a mess. But you know, the Apostle Paul
was too. That's like my third one today. That's terrible.
Well, I will tell you, every time I talk to you, I'm encouraged, and I am so deeply grateful for your life, for the lives of the students that you're impacting, for the literally, I'm sure, without a hyperbole, millions of people that have been impacted by these films and your part in these films. You are just a model of what it means to be a Christian apologist.
Well, thank you. It's something that I never intended to do. I wanted to be a painter. No, seriously. In high school, I fell in love with Picasso at the age of 16 and went off to art school, and I was so miserable. This was in the late 70s, that I finally said to God, you cannot want me to be this unhappy. What do you have for me? What do you want me to do with my life? God has a sense of humor. We're created in his image. And he said, well, how about philosophy of science and biology, right? Really, it was 40 years ago, the fall of 1978, that I said to God, I'm not going to be a painter. It's not going to work out. I'm miserable. What do you want me to do? And he gave me this, and I've never looked back. And what I discovered, much to my astonishment, is science is as creative, as beautiful, as inspiring as anything in art, as anything in music, as anything in poetry. And the secret that scientists don't tell the public, they do a poor job of this, is just how beautiful and compelling science is. Frankly, I think that comes from the fact that it has a rational, loving, creative author who put all these interesting puzzles out there for us to solve. And then inside the puzzle is another puzzle at a deeper level. So scientists, I think, fail to communicate to the public just how much fun it is to do science and to think about it, and the tremendous, deep satisfaction that comes from figuring something out.
Thank you for joining us for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with philosopher Paul Nelson in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift Illustra Media's remarkable film, The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it, the mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning new film provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.